Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill, the best radio station around. As the introduction said, folks, I take an expansive view of what it means to be creative. I also talk about the fact that it's the most important thing you can be doing in your life because we don't know much about the future and you want to approach the future as your most creative and entrepreneurial self. So I'm going to give you lots of insights, lots of perspectives on what it means to be creative so you can build your own understanding of what it means to be creative, the one that will work for you in your circumstances. And one way to do that, of course, is to bring in some really great guests. And we've got a wonderful one for you today, Professor David Mattson. He earned his PhD in education at Drexel University. He currently is a research fellow at the Freddie Reisman Center for Translational Research in Creativity and Motivation. Dave's dissertation, and will also be the focus of this conversation, is The Phenomena of Wonder. The Phenomena of Wonder. I love that. Specifically where creativity and wonder sort of dance together. There will be links on the site when we post the radio show so you can continue to follow David and learn more about his work. And so now let's get David into this conversation. David, thank you so very, very much. I think one of the first questions I asked you when we first met is, what is wonder and how does it relate to creativity?
Yeah, Carl, thanks so much for having me on the show today. I really appreciate a chance to talk to you. It has been a real pleasure to get to know you over the last summer and months, and just a joy to be here with you today. So thanks for bringing this conversation to more people. Let's just start out by saying that I really love what you do here about exploring creativity and not narrowing it down to a really limiting definition and allowing people to explore it and discover it on their own terms in their own life as part of their human experience. And so there's a really good connection there between wonder and creativity. Wonder is a lot like creativity in the sense that there's been a difficult time finding wonder over the years. And in fact, wonder, the discussion over the definition of wonder actually goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks.
Oh.
You actually had Socrates and Aristotle talking about wonder as the beginning of philosophy. And wonder has been debated about exactly what it is from all the major philosophers, including Augustine and Kant and Descartes, and even Dewey talks about it in his Curiosity. So it's actually a really important part of our philosophical legacy in the West, but it's not something that people really know about or get taught about. And one of the reasons for that is because it's a difficult thing to define. And unlike creativity, which is kind of, people have sort of settled on functional definitions, definition of wonder is still debated. But what I define it as is this combination of excitement, exploration, and awareness, which is Glavineau's model of wonder, who was a former guest on your show,
yes,
as avid listeners will know. And he actually wrote a wonderful book about wonder, which you can read. It was very formative for me. But
share those three aspects again, if you would, please.
Yeah, I'll share my definition this week explicitly.
Okay.
So wonder occurs when we encounter something novel or new, whether that's ideas, people, or circumstances, and when we wrestle with the meaning of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you always, with wonder, you have three components. You always have emotion. You've got a kind of contemplation or awareness of this new stimuli or perspective. And then you have meaning. Mm. So wonder is always a meaningful experience. And that's part of what's so important about distinguishing wonder from curiosity or other things that are related to wonder but are not the same.
Does humility? That's one of the qualities, creative qualities, that I will often promote. I have a sense mm-hmm. that humility and wonder must have some relationship with each other.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times we experience wonder And there's a multiple aspects of that. And the emotion or the encounter with something novel can inspire us to feel awe. And awe is a great gateway into wonder because it puts us in that position of feeling small in relationship to something larger or meaningful. And then once we have that experience of awe, if we continue then to explore the meaningfulness that we're experiencing and think about it and contemplate it, then we can experience wonder as, in its totality. So wonder often will have a similar component to it like awe, where it makes us feel that we are experiencing something bigger than ourselves, something more meaningful than just our own immediate goals, and expanded perception of what's possible. And so, yes, humility functions in that. And another part of it that's very important for wonder is that we don't always talk about it in the context of being positive emotionally. So you can be, we know one of the things that wonder can be related to is grief. And so some of those moments in our lives when we are their most perplexed and thrown into a state of wonder can be moments that are quite sad and devastating. And those are also humbling moments. Yes. When we realize that we're not in as control of our circumstances as we thought. And we have to explore how to navigate the world with this new information that we're the plans that we laid out aren't happening the way we thought they were.
Yeah, I've never associated wonder with grief. That's a really interesting, yeah. Really interesting insight.
Yeah, it's really important because, I mean, wonder is such an essential part of our human experience, and it's not just limited to the areas where we want to talk about. It's not just limited to self-help goals and wondering what we're going to achieve next. It's actually part of our DNA as far as humans. And so therefore it applies to both the good and the difficult parts of our experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I brought up humility. You've done a couple of riffs off humility. In one of our conversations off the air a week or two ago, I was mm-hmm. suggesting to you that it's hard for me to imagine that people can have wonder without humility, that humility is a necessary mm-hmm. condition for wonder. And you pointed out, no. If you are really expert in your field, it's quite possible you may not be humble about that. But because you're an expert in your field, there's a whole other plane that you want to go and wonder about, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can, just like creativity, that wonder has multiple aspects to it. One, it can be something you, as a complete narcissist, you could still experience wonder in a non-humble way if you were able to still find meaningfulness in the opportunity to explore something new. But also, you could be in a situation where you are in a place where you're thinking about wonder in a way that's really negative towards other folks. You could wonder about how you're going to destroy something.
Okay.
And just like we have negative creativity as a possibility.
Okay.
We could have negative wonder in the sense of really having a malevolent wonder about how you wanted to tear something apart, which I, of course, is not really a focus of mine, but it is a possibility that you could have. In that case, that would be quite the opposite of humility at that point.
Yes, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
And so, folks, we're going to break here for in a second, and David's going to be back after the break, so please join us.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for coming back. I'm here today with a great guest, David Mattson, a researcher in the field of creativity, but especially in the field of wonder. And we've been talking about wonder, about wonder's relationship to creativity. But I know, David, you've got a lot of really interesting things to say that about wonder beyond that it inspires creativity. The why, so why and where is wonder important outside of its creative contributions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, of course, wonder and creativity go hand in hand. as we wonder about how to express meaning and express our emotions, we can be creative. And then wonder can be a reward of creativity, as in when you create something that you have an outcome you didn't expect, where you come across something that's functional you didn't know would work, and then you can be rewarded with wonder in those moments. But beyond that, wonder is something that we experience as humans at a default level. You know, wonder is really about the lightning bolt moments in our lives in a lot of way. If I asked someone, what are the most defining, significant instances of their life? 9 out of 10 times, that person is going to tell you an event or something that happened, and it's an event that they'll have been wondering about throughout their life. They've been thinking about its meaning, its significance. They're still in touch with the emotions of that moment. They contemplate it, and it's something that opened up new possibilities or new realities in their life. And so the moment itself may have been a moment of wonder, but even more so, their engagement with that moment and its significance has been an enduring moment, a source of wonder for them. These are moments such as, like, you know, becoming a parent, falling in love, discovering a passion that's going to define your life. Or, like we talked about in the first section, this could be a moments of extreme loss or extreme heartache, right, that define you and to give us opportunities for discovering new possibilities. So yes, there it is related to our creativity 100%, but it's also something that's more fundamental, or equally fundamental to creativity, since creativity is essential to our human experience as well. But wonder is also in a way that's that is not necessarily about the, when we think of creativity in a task or performance sense, wonder has a separate identity as well.
Well, hearkening back to where you sort of began this riff, you were talking about, you know, these big moments in people's lives and then wondering about those experiences, wondering the significance of them. So memory and wonder have got a relationship. Is there anything about that can be explored, the relationship?
Absolutely. Okay. That's a really important part, because, you know, one of the biggest mistakes that has been made historically and was thinking about wonder as something that happens just in a single moment, because mm-hmm. it had to be contained within the emotion of that single moment. But in reality, as we experience wonder in a much more longitudinal way, where it goes on through our lives as we continue to interact with those moments. And memory is, of course, what facilitates us being able to do that. Our ability to recall and to re-engage with significant moments in our lives and explore possibilities that are still manifesting, right, or still changing our circumstances because of those moments, allow us to re-enter aspects of wonder throughout our lives. And some of these are cumulative and they build on themselves as well. Again, if we go back to those important philosophical questions about the meaning of life, why we're here, this is why, of course, the famous quote from the Greeks with the philosophy begins in wonder. Our perception of those questions is not just an instant, but it's a cumulative thing that we explore over time in our lives. And so the wonder of those questions isn't diminished by our memory. In fact, it's enhanced by our ability to recall the way we've progressed from one answer to that question at a certain time of our life to a different answer, perhaps, yes, or a deeper answer later in our lives.
Very nice. Very nice. And as the research shows, that our memories change over time, right? Because we're constructing that memory every time we're experiencing it. So your wonder will change then, right? That the dynamic of your wonder changes as your memory changes.
That's right. I mean, that's the way that we relive events in our memories is certainly different than when they occurred, right? We know that our memory changes the event in sometimes drastic ways, but that it opens up doors for us to engage with those moments in different ways. So, for example, it's not just a matter of accuracy, but when we think back, with a difficult event that was very painful, and we remember the event, but at this point we may have taken steps to grow from that moment and to be in a different place because of things that we did afterwards.
Right.
And so when we remember that event and we are lost in wonder about it, that source of pain and the emotion of hurt that we had at that moment is now mixed with a sense of accomplishment and achievement, as we've now combined the memory of that event with other memories that have changed our perception of it over time.
Oh, I very much like that.
And so, yeah, memory is an important part of wonder in that sense, for sure.
That's very strong. I like that. I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also and we'll get to this when we talk about ways to foster creativity in your life, but memory is an important part of our ability to engage with questions and events and circumstances, and even recognizing the distinctions between our memories of events and another person's memory of an event that was there, and discovering that maybe they're different,
right,
can be a source of wonder and even and of course conflict as well sometimes.
Right. So this idea that our memories change, have you seen any research? Do we tend to distort the memories of the bad things more than we distort the memories of the good things? Is there any research on that point?
You know, there may be. I can't speak to that. Yeah, okay. That's a great point. I can't speak definitively to yes or no.
Okay.
I would imagine that just from an evolutionary perspective, it would make sense that our tendency would be to minimize minimize certain things and emphasize other things that helped us to have resilience.
Got it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would bet you that very much works like that. Well, folks, David has already teased you about what we're going to talk about next, which is how do you foster wonder? How do you bring your wonder into your creative world? And so we're going to talk about that just as soon as we're back from the break. So please join us one more time.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, folks. In the first two segments, you've met David Mattson, who has been talking to you about the importance of wonder. He's been wondering with you and telling you about the importance of wonder as it relates to creativity, as it relates to other aspects of our life. And he's offered, and I'm so delighted that he's offered to now share his thoughts about how do we foster wonder, right? How do we cultivate wonder in our own life? And David's going to tell us how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really important part of the research for me because, of course, wonder starts very much from the anthology of philosophy going way back as an approach to answering the fundamental question of what's a good life and how do we have it? How do we achieve a good life and how do we live it? And of course, the answer to that isn't a straightforward, I'm not going to provide that for folks today, but engaging with that question and exploring it is part of where our wonder comes from. And so I want to make sure I give you three things that are less abstract, not just for sitting with your hand on your knee and wondering about. Let's think of three action things that we can do that would bring these meaningful experiences into our lives. So one of the things that's important from the research that emerges on wonder is that relationships are our most consistent source of wonder, both happy and painful. And so one of the things that we can do to foster wonder in our lives is use a lens of wonder to look at the relationships in our lives. When we look at others around us and explore why are they behaving this way, or why aren't they behaving the way that I thought they should or would, or what's possible for them in their lives? What are their dreams, or what's our interaction? And we get caught up on wanting to have the answer to all those or wanting to make all those things go in a certain direction. But if you step back and adopt that lens of wonder where you just understand that those questions themselves are you engaging in a meaningful way with this other person.
Yay.
And that they're doing that hopefully with you as well if you have that kind of relationship with them. And that sort of wonder is a great way to view your relationships as a source of these types of wonder questions. And sometimes they're hard because we really care about the answers and we really want them to go a specific way. But allowing our relationships to be a source of a wonder helps us embrace these moments and deal with our relationships in a way that's meaningful without being as focused on control. Yes. Over other folks, yes, which we ultimately can't have.
open. There's an open-endedness to what you're talking about right now.
It also gives full agency to others. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to understand you and wonder about what would make you happy, what our interaction is about, and not presuming to you know have a say in exactly what happens, because you know you're seeing them in their full agency and their full humanity by viewing them through wonder.
Let's go to the second one. What's the second way that we can bring wonder to our lives?
The second one's really simple. It's actually one of the things that causes us to experience wonder is just encountering new experiences.
Okay.
And when we do that with other people, these things can be really meaningful. So my prescription here is nothing other than try new things with other people, even if it's a stranger, even if you're on social apps, whatever you do, if you're trying new skills, traveling, reading a book with other folks, you know, one thing that really works is going back to familiar places and with someone else that knows those places and seeing how they've changed.
Oh, cool.
And that can be a source of wonder as well.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's a really simple one. Everyone can do that and doesn't have to require money, but just trying new things with other people and you'll find that wonder will come to you.
I had lunch today with a person I had not met before who we both have lived in the area for a long time. And to hear him talk about his experiences in a place or with a person that I've had experiences, boy, I wonder why his were so much different than mine were. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, having the metacognition behind this helps, because then you're expecting to have new and meaningful moments that are emotional as well. And you're walking into it with knowing what a reward will look like.
Yes.
And so it's just like creativity in that sense. Metacognition does, as the research show, help us facilitate creative action. And if we have some knowledge about creativity, so it's similar with wonder, knowing how it works, a little bit about how it works helps us to foster it in our lives.
And folks, I'm going to say right now so that David can finish, we've got about a minute and a half left. This will be posted on Wednesday. We'll have a place on when we post it where you can look at David's books. But now let's look at talk about your third prompt. You got a minute to do so.
Yeah, just quickly, the third one is about keeping a journal, keeping a reflective practice,
yes,
whether that's a spiritual practice, meditative practice, but giving yourself a space to actually wrestle with difficult questions. And I guess, again, I mean, this may sound obvious, but that is a place where we get lost in contemplation and wonder, and that's very valuable.
That's very valuable.
Let me just mention a few books. If you want to follow up and learn more about this, I mentioned Glavineau's book on wonder, Reclaiming Wonder by Lloyd. There's The Wonder Project by Andre Schenkel and Dodson and Park, and have a wonderful account of wonder as it's changed over the years, as well as The Age of Wonder by Holmes. So these are a lot of great books out there on this topic. If you're interested, please reach out and I can help connect you with some great reading.
Outstanding. And again, folks, when the show is posted in about 3 or 4 days on Wednesday, I have a little 2 or 3 paragraph write-up to remind you what you're going to listen to in the show. And in that write-up, we'll include David's books, the books that he's mentioning, some links to some exciting things that he's working on. David, thank you so much, folks. I hope you enjoyed this, because we're going to have him back. He's got a whole lot of different perspectives on creativity that I'm wondering what he will share with us next. So thank you, David. I really appreciate this. And I hope you all have a great day.
It's been a pleasure.
Great. Thank you.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.